Something that happened a couple of days ago, two Orthodox modern day schools decided to incorporate into their celebration of halachic adulthood that not only boys should be putting on tefillin, that girls could be putting on tefillin as well. And quite obviously, this psak, I know for a fact, was not asked to any of the gedolei olam that they usually ask the psak from. They were both musmachim of YU who did this. So you can understand that the Rosh Hashivas in YU were a little upset that when it came to asking all the other shaylas they asked, they asked them, when it comes to this, they didn't even be shaleitz, so should we do it or not? And the question therefore is to sensitize ourselves to why many people are upset with this. And let me present the facts, let me present the figures, and perhaps sensitize you to the ramifications of this, and hopefully how to deal with the situation. In the world of mitzvahs, when we makabel Torah in Har Sinai, the Rabbeinu Shem gave us Tayyag mitzvahs, and at that point in time he defined for us what mitzvahs are applicable to both men and women, which mitzvahs are applicable only to men, which are only applicable to women, which mitzvahs are applicable only to Kohanim or to Leviim. He gave an entire shir, which Moshe then gave up to Klali, so exactly the parameters of Kiyum HaMitzvahs. There's a Mishnah Mufereshes in Masechtas Kedushin that gives us one of the major principles, and that Mishnah says that when it comes to mitzvahs that are not Zman Groma, that are not time-oriented, that usually on a regular basis, men and women have a halachic equivalency when it comes to the chiyuv. When it comes to mitzvahs, however, that are mitzvahs that are zman grama, that are time-oriented, those mitzvahs are normally applicable to men. They are normally not applicable to women. And even in this category, there are exceptions to the rule, because as I pointed out before, there's a mitzvah like achilas matzah, marah, korban pesach, which are zman grama mitzvahs. Nevertheless, the Torah brings special kiddushim and makaras to tell us women are chayavis in these mitzvahs nevertheless. So based upon this specific basic format, the Rishonim then had a discussion, if women are exempt from mitzvahs asay shehazman grama, which means there's no chiyuv, do they have an ability as an option, as a reshus, to perform these mitzvahs? And the basic feeling of the Ashkenazic and Sephardic poskim is that to do these mitzvahs as a general statement is permissible. Not only can they do the mitzvahs, but they get schar as a eina mitzvah va'oseh. And the kiyum ha-mitzvah they do in performing the mitzvah has a chashivus of a kiyum ha-mitzvah. The only thing that's debated by the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam, representing Sephardic and Ashkenazic Rishonim, is are we allowed to make a bracha before you perform the mitzvah? Asher k'dushan v'sav v'tzivanu, k'ay yisev v'tzivanu. The Rabbeinu Tam says 100% yes. The Rambam said 100% no. And based upon their attitude to that, the Sephardic Gadol and the Ashkenazic Gadol, this filtered down to when he came to the Ketubah of the Poskim, and I'm now referring to the Beis Yosef of Yosef Karo as the major Sephardic Poskim, and you have Ramor Moshe Islis as the major Ashkenazic Poskim. Each one basically carried the Shita of that major Rishon, which means Rav Yosef Karo Poskim and Hilchos Shofar, women should be allowed to blow the shofar and blow it and make the sound of a Yotz the Mitzvah, even themselves doing it. But they can't make the bracha, like Shita Saramba. The Beis Yosef, who's the major Sephardic Shepasek, is following the Rambam, which is a usual phenomenon. Most of the time in Shulchan Aruch, when Yosef Karo Paskins, he quotes the Rambam verbatim in the formulation. But Ramar of Moshe Isselis, on the other hand, followed the Shita, the party line of the Rabbeinu Tam, and says not only can women blow shofar to Riyotz and Rosh Hashanah, but they can make the bracha upon it as well. So we therefore see that the machlokus of the Rishonim is carried out. What?
Be mitzvah man also.
That's a different shayla. We're talking about them being able to do the mitzvah themselves and make the bracha. That's our discussion. I'm not getting into women being yotzei men now. We're getting into them just being yotzei themselves. So therefore, the question arises whether bracha can be made. The Rambam says no. The Rashi, the Rama says the Rabbi Natan, and the Rama says yes. And that has been the mini Grelian Klal Yisrael for thousands of years, where in the Ashkenazi communities we teach girls that mitzvah says shaman grama, like shofar, like sukkah, like the dalad minim, ukedaymer, sviras omer, they can make the bracha besides doing it. And in the Sfadisha schools, Avadya Yosef is very mocked, even though there's been a very shaky history in the Sfadisha world. He says, we have to go back to the Rambam, we have to go back to the Maram, the Kesef Mishnah, Yosef Karo. And therefore, he made sure in his Sfadisha girls' schools, girls are taught that you basically do the mitzvah, as any mitzvah of Oseh, also Levarech. And he says to the husbands, that if your wife, who was a Sfadia, was brought up in an Ashkenazi girl seminary, and they taught her to make a bracha when she does these mitzvahs, and she's not going to listen to you, and she's going to make the bracha, it's a sheila lefneiva loisei temichshol. Therefore, either she doesn't make a bracha like the minig of Sfarim, or forget about the entire discussion. So this is where the discussion basically takes place in the world of halacha. What is fascinating historically and halachically, that there are two zman grama mitzvahs that seem to be the exception to the rule, and that is the mitzvah of tzitzis of talis and the mitzvah of putting on tefillin, and that's where our shiur starts tonight. If you look on the first sheet in front of you, I have the psukim of the Shulchan Aruch, the psukim of the Rishonim on the topic. What I first want to show you, we'll go down the right hand side first, which deals with the concept of tefillin, and first some interesting historical narratives concerning what people might have done in the past. I have on top of the page, quotation 1a, the Talmud Yerushalmi in Barachos, where it says, Noshim v'avadim patur mekriyishma menat tefillin. And upon that Mishnah, Hatevan, they asked the question in Mesechtas Yerushalmi of Barachos, Hare Michl Bas Kushi hoyas alaveshes tefillin. Now Michl Bas Kushi was the daughter of Shaul HaMelech, and she was known to put on tefillin. Furthermore, the wife of Yonah HaNavi was Oilul Regalim. She brought to Kabbanis of Elias Regal. And the Yerushalmi says in the first quotation, Lo Micha B'Yidei Chacham. We don't find Chazal protesting. So Chizki B'Shem Rabbi says, Ishtosh Yonah Husha, what are you talking about? My Kabbalah is, they told the wife of Yonah, you can't bring this Kabbanis into the base of Middish. You're not chayiv in them. It's a Shela, perhaps, a Chulam Ba'azara. Michal Bas Kushi, Michal B'Yadei HaChachamim, they criticized and said you shouldn't be doing this. So it seems according to this Makar, going back to the time of the Talmud Yerushalmi, which is a very ancient source of advice when it comes to there, discussing an historical narrative of Michal Bashar going back to the time of Tanakh, it seems that was the only woman they ever heard of that might have put on tefillin of all of those thousands of years. And there was a debate whether Chazal criticized her or not. And it seems the Maskon of Yerushalmi is they criticized it. Now, in the Talmud Bavli version of this, Masechtas Erevin, Tanya Michal Bas Kushi Hoi Samanechas Tvilin, Lo Mikham, this the Bavli says that he has a Kabbalah that were not Micha. Ishlo Shiyona Hoi Sola Rega Vlo Micha Bachamim. The tradition over there was, according to the Bavli, that they didn't send her back. So therefore, we see the Gemara says, "Alma k'sava mitzvah sasechel asman gramahi." Maybe it's because you hold these mitzvahs, which means tefillin in particular, is not asman gramahi, and therefore maybe noshim mechayavos. So the Gemara says, "Dilma savul akrab yosi." No. The fact of the matter is, even though there's a big debate whether tefillin is asman grama or not asman grama, the fact of the matter is, we paskin tefillin is asman grama because Shabbos and Yom Tov are love asman tefillin. It's therefore asman grama. But the Gemara that allowed, that it claims the Michal Bas Kushi could basically put on tefillin, it holds that what? Like Shitas Rav Yosi, the Amanashim Samchas Rishus, that even though Anashim are not chayavos to do smich on the Karbanos, when they bring Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, the fact is that if they do it, they haven't violated an Avera, so it's a Rishus, not an obligation. If you don't say this, Ishto Shiyana Hayis Ola Rega Va Michaba Mi Ikla Man Dama Rega Lav Mitzvah Zazizman Gramahu, and the Kasava Rishus, which is Shimat Nai Pichayiv, to celebrate Olah Regalim by bringing Karbanos as a Chiyuv, but she wants to bring it as a Rishus, we would allow her to do such. The only thing the Talmud Bavli says is that when it came to Michal Bar Shaul, that she was allowed to do it because she held it's a Rishus, not a Chiyuv, and therefore they didn't chepe her with that Rishus. But once again, we're talking about one woman in Jewish history, Michal Bar Shaul. We're not talking about Dvara HaNeviah, who was the Pasekas Adar. We're not talking about any of the other great women in Jewish history, the Via Sekedemer. She seemed to be the Yotzman Aklal, which therefore allowed Rishonim to then give a little bit of a Ha'ara. The Tosafos in Masechtas Erevin says the question is, when it comes to not allowing a woman to put on tefillin, so what is the problem? What is the yesod of the problem? So he brings near the forest, the Tan Madama Alavirishus, Mushum the Tfilin Tzrichen Gufnaki, the Noshim Ein Zerizos Lizahir. The problem when it comes to tefillin, unlike other mitzvahs, is that tefillin has contained in it parshios that have a kedush of klap, a kedushas astak, like Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, tefillin, the Halakha parshios. And when it comes to putting kalaf on your body, whether you're male or female, your body has to be in a state of tahara. Tahara not only means mikveh tahara, we're talking about obviously specifically, you shouldn't have any intestinal problems, and therefore have any gas being passed and such. You have to have a gufnaki. And halach lamasa, that applies to men and women across the board. So he says, if that's the case, women in particular have a problem when it comes to gufnaki, v'noshim ein tzrichlis lazoher. The mefarshim achrayim point out, he's referring to the fact that many women, especially during menstruation, have pains and gastric pains or whatever it might be. So they have more problems than men do. Men might have a stomach ache from time to time, but women have other problems. So besides stomach aches, they have menstruation and such. So therefore, as a result, since it's difficult for them to be zar on a continual ongoing basis because of gufnaki, and therefore that's why he claims our minig was not to allow women to basically put on tefillin. But Lila Regal Moshim, when it comes to Yonah's wife, the Mechsi Kamevi Chulun Lazara, or Moshim Riyas Panav Azara Shalol Lazarek, that was the problem over there. But I'm concentrating now on tefillin. He says the Lashon of Taisis is, the concern is, Gufnaki, but I'm not finished yet. Gufnaki is what's quoted in Taisis over here. The fact of the matter is, there's more than just that. If you look at quotation E, the Kolbo, who was the Talmud of the Maram Rutenberg, who was the great Gadol Hadar in Germany, quotes B'Shem his Rebbe, "Im ratzu noshim laniach tefillin, ain shomu lehen, m'nei she'ein en yodos lishma atzma b'nekiyos." It's difficult for them to basically observe the concept of nekiyos aguf when it comes to what I just mentioned before. And what I want to add to the picture is that in actuality, if you look in the other Rishonic sources on this, they bring down two problems. Not only is there a problem of a gufnaki problem, but when it comes to tefillin, there's something that we men have to be careful of as well. There's the iser of hesech hadas. The Gemara has many places in Gezeres Shava between the chashivas of the tzitz hazav and the tefillin. And the same way when Kain wore the tzitz hazav, his golden plate, there was iser of hesech hadas, which is an iser deraisa. The Gemara compares the tefillin's din of iser hesech hadas. So when you wear tefillin, you can't be mesech das. So in actuality, there are two problems we as men and women confront when you come to tefillin, which you don't find in other mitzvahs. There's a din in gufnaki. There's a concept of isa hesech hadas. So if that's the case, I'm going to show you now what Chazal made as a pshara over here. Before I entertain questions, let me just give you the fuller picture. Now, the Shulchan Aruch itself, and I'll give you time to ask questions soon. It says, Noshim v'avadna peturim et tefillin m'nei shum mitzvah sezman grama. So therefore, he just quotes the simple halacha. The Ramayit, im noshim rotis lahachem al atzman. What happens if women say, I want to be machmir? So he paskins over here, mochim biyodim. It's not the question of basically, you know, sitting back, shavli al tasa, but you have to give him a chal, you have to protest that this is not allowable based upon the minig of Israel, of noshim not to put on tefillin. And that dates back to the Tekufa, historically, of the Rishonim. Now look in the Aruch HaShulchan below. The Aruch HaShulchan adds a little more spice over here. He mitzvahs asay shazman grama, the Shabbos v'yom tov patim et tefillin, it's a zman grama, imrotzon lahachem al atzman mochem b'yado, so he says, v'lodomi l'sukkah, v'lulit, shepeturos, umuvarachas alayem. Why?
The cave in the tefillin tzrichin zehiris yisarim of gavki damrinin tefillin tzrich of nokik elisha balkan afayim. Therefore, if that's the case, he makes the following statement, which we haven't seen up until now. But what I want you to know, what he's saying over here, I found later on in the Rishonim, in the Beis Yosef himself, in his parish to the Shulchan Aruch, in his parish Arucha, Achanoshim Shemuchu Yavim, Behechrech, by them it's implied, it's necessary, Sheyizaro Behem Beshas Kriyashma Vetfila, that when they put on tefillin, our minig is, most men put on tefillin only at the time of davening. They don't wear tefillin the entire day, even though theoretically, as a halakhic construct, we should be wearing tefillin the entire day. Most people don't do it today. And therefore, they say, limit it to the time of Kriya Shema V'Tfila, Shezah Be'am Shas Kriya Shema V'Tfila, L'chein Ein Menichin Kol Hayom. And the reason is, very simply, is because even men have a problem when it comes to Gufnoki and the concept of not being Mesiach Das. Most people, most men, cannot keep that type of rigor in their body functions or in their mental capacities. Therefore, Chazal said, since you have to wear tefillin, and the question is, at least part of the day, you wear it at a time frame that the essence of what you're doing is be makabala upon yourself, all machal shamayim, and all mitzvahs, which means at the time you're davening, the bech shema and the shema and the tefillah, you're doing something else as well during that time frame. You're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm being makabala upon myself, my achrayis, to have keep kabbalos machal shamayim, the recitation of the first pasuk in Kriya Shema, Chazal tell us, besides being the kind of mitzvah say Kriya Shema, is a formal kabbalos ol machal shamayim, and that's why the Bach and other Achronim point out, where women are technically exempt from Kriya Shema, because it's a mitzvah say Shaman Grama, many women say the Kriya Shema anyway, because since the mechuyit mekabal ol machal shamayim each and every day, they use Kriya Shema as the mechanism with which to accomplish it. So therefore, at the time, being mekabal machal shamayim, and you're mentioning the mitzvah of tefillin, ukedayma, in the davening, for you to basically say those parshiyos and not wear tefillin is as if you'd be made eided sheker, I'm saying one thing and doing something else. So therefore Chazal say, since we want you to mekayim the mitzvah, we want you to mekayim it as a minimalist, because we're fearful, if we allow you to do it the entire time frame, you might end up yaseschar behefseida, of not having the proper nekiyas aguf, and also the proper hesechadas. So therefore we make men be minimalist. They should only wear it b'shas kriya shema u'tfila. L'chein ein manichim kol hayom. Im kein, this is the point. Noshim shepeturos. Women who are technically exempt from this, lama yachnisu atzman b'chashash gadol kazeh. V'etzlam b'shas kriya shema v'tfila kol hanoshim kol hayom. Therefore, if they're not chayiv, they should treat as the men like the entire day who don't wear tefillin. Lefikach, a manichin asalin tefillin. For alpha got the tani be'erivin. Michal basha ha'yisam manechas tefillin. Lo michal chamim, which means he's quoting the Talmud Bavli's version. Ein lemeidim izeh. Demistama yodu shitzadekas gemura v'yodu lizoher. And she was careful to be careful. Now, I want to point out something else to you.
How does he know that?
Because I saw Kadmonim say that as well. I saw the Beis Yosef said it. Yeah, I found the Rishonim already. What's amazing to me after researching this is that there are a lot of Rishonim who say this already. But Kufasam, why he had to be the one to say it? But I want to mention something else. I found later on Ramah says Mochem Biyadam, but what about our Sfadish colleagues? The Beis Yosef just says they are Pata. But are we Moche? So the Bircha Yosef, Yosef Chaim Aziloi, in his Bircha Yosef says that what the Ramah says vis-a-vis Ashkenazim, we are likewise, we hold this as well. So the question is, what about Michal Bas Shaul? So he quotes a Kabbalistic Kabbalah he has, and it has to be Kabbalistic because when you hear the Kabbalah, there's no way Alpi Seichel you're able to say this. He says his Kabbalistic Kabbalah on Michal Bas Shaul is that she had a Gilgul in the Shema of a man, of a tzaddik of an earlier generation that was begugul into her body. And therefore, for that reason, she was also childless. And he had a chi of a Gilgul in this world to fatikunim. So therefore, she had a desire to put on tefillin because of that Gilgul had a Shema of the Ish. She didn't produce children because it was a Gilgul Avish, not an Isha. And he claims that's why the Metzias of what she did. And he claims the Chazal at that time knew what they're doing, which is even, you know, I say to you, you have to have a Kabbalah to say this, otherwise, Menayin Lecha. But the Hebrecha Yosef quotes this specific Kabbalah. But Beikach or Beikach, you don't derive a halachic practice by one Isha Tzadeka is doing this. So if that's the case, but we don't find, what's interesting is, you never find even Bruria in the Gemara, who was the big Bekiah, she was a Tabit HaChama, having a Zahiris to wear tefillin. You don't find any of the Nashim Sitkanyas of the Tanaim Amarayim, even biblical figures, be medaktif with wearing tefillin. So that's what's called a Hayrash, a Yetzim in a Klal, but you don't make a Klal from a Yetzim in a Klal. Now, this story everybody says that Rashi's daughter is put on tefillin, I researched that. And the answer to the question is, let me give you a quotation. And this was a quotation of historians. There is a professor in the Hebrew University whose name is Professor Avraham Grossman. He is the expert in Rashi. And he makes the following statement. He says that the legend about Rashi's daughters wearing tefillin has no historical basis. It is a myth. And I looked around, and others say the same thing. Even those who were women libbers who would love to find that makar had to admit it is a myth. It is not true. There's no substantiation for it. So therefore, that day, you know, whatever it is, Rabbi Yisrael, but besides that, there's something also quite interesting, and that is the fact that I found even the conservatives who wanted to find such a makar, their scholars said, we weren't able to find any written proof of the assertion of Rashi's daughter, so they couldn't bring that for their chassidus and their machaneh, so they were frustrated. There is a makar that they quote, that believe it or not, Archaim HaKadosh's wife was Miniach Tilin, and they say over here, they researched that specific Kabbalah, that's why you should get the Bubba Mainza. So we don't have really any really traditions, you know, there's a lot of myths flying around over here. But Nebuch, the only one we have, that we have it recorded, lock, stock, and barrel, is Michal Bashar. So, I mean, that's what it is. Now, but let me go a little further, Rabbi Yisrael. What is interesting and fascinating is I want to contrast this to tzitzis. Look on the other side of the page. When it comes to tzitzis, it says over here, HaKocha Yavim B'tzitzis, Kon Levim Yisrael, V'geirim O'B'nashim V'avadim, that's the Tanakhah, because he claims it's not Zman Grama. Reb Shimon Pota B'nashim, she has Mitzvah Zman Grama Hu, because it's Zman Grama Nashim Peturos. It says, "Re'isim alsa prat luxus laila." So the halach is, if you look on number quotation I, the Rif Paskins, like Rav Shimon, Pota ben Asher, we hold like Rav Shimon. So Paskins the Rambam. So Paskins the Shulchan Aruch in quotation J. Nasha vada b'turim and nation mitzvah says van grama. Look in the Ramah. Listen to the Ramah over here. Umakom akom imrotzim latufer levarach alav harushus biyadam. Here, the Ramah is Mekel. If women want to put on talis, they can do it and make a bracha. Kamo Shem says to my grandma, Ach mechse ki yuhara. It's a little gaivinik for them to do that. Why? Because the reason he's basically paraphrasing a Tosfos in Menachos. Menachos points out that Tosfos, Rabbi Yisai, even we as men are super machmi when it comes to tzitzis. Why? Because in the Tkufa, we used to wear four-cornered beged. So wearing tzitzis was a chiva kasa based upon the normal beged. We don't wear normally four-cornered begadim. And me'ikah din, we basically should be exempt from tzitzis. What do? We go out of way to buy a shmata that normally wouldn't wear as a four-cornered beged, to mechayim ourselves in tzitzis. So therefore, what we do as men is l'fnei mishur hadin is a yura as basic, but since we have a chiva mitzvah, we go the extra step. So Tosfos says, if that's the case, for women who don't have the chiyah, for them to make those two extra steps, it's really a question of yura. Therefore, but yura is not an isa, and the uyura is yura. And I'll show you why I'm saying this. L'chein ein lulul ba tzitzis hov ein achayv gavra ein achayv l'knas latalis teishayv tzitzis. But he never says over here mochin biyada. If you look in the Arach Hashulchan. He says in his tekufa, he didn't find too many women amongst the, at least the litvish of Vaibalach, wearing talisim. Therefore he says, not the Ramah, We don't let them make a bracha. We don't let them wear them. And the daim of the shayfa the sukkah lulav davi pamachas b'shana v'mitzvah kerega. Avotis is mitzvahs of kol hashana l'nod l'nashim. V'och to kol mitzvahs shehem chayva l'nashim v'chen yicholos gam heim l'asais. Avotis is ene chayva. V'zeh kevanes ramah, the Mexican yura, kevin. Shehem temidus v'gam kevin sh'ene chayva l'ish elu k'sheish l'begish l'arba kantos. So if you only had the Aruch HaShulchan, it appears he's now superimposing in the tzitzis a chumra which the Ramah didn't mention, just historically. The Ramah says this, you are Ramah, but he didn't say it's Asa. Now, I'm going to skip a couple of generations. Turn to the next page. You've just begun to hear Rabbis. Listen carefully. But Moshe Feinstein in the 1970s was contacted by Rabbi Kellerman, who at that time was the Rav of the Young Israel of Brookline in Massachusetts. Very prestigious, avant-garde Young Israel in Boston, Massachusetts, you know, the heart of the intelligentsia of American Jewry. And it seems Rav Kellerman, who's now the Rav in West Hempstead, had a problem because where did really women liberation when it comes to Judaism begin in America? It began in Harvard and all the law schools and all the fancy schools up in Harvard. So he was the first Rav to have to confront how Judaism confronts women liberation and the demands of women liberation. So he was very, very nervous. So he wrote a question to Rav Moshe Feinstein, what should I do? So Rav Moshe answered him, and if you look in the tshuva, he says, "Atnu achadosh shel noshim hashanenos hachashuvos hanikra women's liberation." And he spelled it out, women's liberation. So the question is, what do we do over here? So Rav Moshe has various things I want to show you, but I first want to show you number four, because that relates to what we just did together. On the bottom of the page number four, he says, "Ibra, it is true, the ikra shus lechol ish lekayim es mitzvah shel achivan hatorah." On top of the page, number five. She'im kein, if that's the case, Rav Moshe says, listen to this. Gam ala tzitzis, even on tzitzis. Shaykh li'isha, she'tirtze, if she wants. Lilbosh begedish ibetzura acheres mebigda nashim, because the begedish begedisha, so has to be four cornered beged that's different than a man's four cornered beged. Aviyah bedala kanfos lahatlobot tzitzis ulakayim mitzvazu. It just shows you how different he is from the Aruch HaShulchan's attraction. He says in his mind, he's not worried about yuhara like the Ramah, and the Ramah didn't ask it. In my mind, the only shev I see is begedish and begedisha. So you got to have a four cornered beged. That's different than a man's because a beged begedisha. But once you have a four-cornered woman's beged, you want to do it as a reshus, go ahead. But let me go further, Rabbi. So listen to this. Rak laniach tefillin. When it comes to tefillin, Rabbi Moshe says, he kasu atesis be'erivim, daf tzadivo, michu d'tzorach limchos b'yadcha b'shem b'ashem shum tefillin. Why? Tzrichin. Well, what it says over here, tzrichin, he says, tzrichin zerizis maruba, you need tremendous zerizos. Bigof Naki, Ubehesach Adas, as I mentioned before, Shemetam Zu, Af Anoshim Shemuchyavim Betfilim Nimnor Malanicham Kolayom, El Razman Hamuat, the Tfila de Shachris, the Chain Ifsikra Moshe says in the Ramah and Shachnarach Lamaches, Sif Gimel, and then he says something else, something I haven't shown you up until now. Up until now, the purpose of Asring Tfilin was a Gufnaki Shela, was a question of Hesek Hadas. But now he brings down a Targim Yainasan on the Pasik, Lo Yela Klegev Al Isha. So what is the Targim Yainasan, which is part of Teresh Vosei? Isa, which means a woman, Lo Yu Gulian de Tzitzis, which is fringes of Tzitzis, Vitfilin. They shouldn't put it on their body while wear them. The inun tikune gever al isa la sphere like, which means to say, he holds it's an isa of putting on a malbish ish. Rav Moshe wants to claim that this source is a source that a woman wearing tefillin is wearing a malbish ish. By definition, it's a malbish ish, so therefore it should come under that specific isa. But Rav Moshe admits the following, that since the Targum Yonasan says this as the reason, which is a shayla on a deraisa level, but Tosos never quotes this specific source. Tosos knew these sources, and Tosos selectively decided not to quote it. So Rav Moshe says, from here we see, if that's the case, that therefore he says that Tosos disagrees with the Targum Yonasan, which means Uposha Tosos Sari Sheinim Targum Yonasan. So he's saying is that there's a machloikis, whether is in fact the Shita Satanoim that held Tefillin are a Beged Ish to come under the Isha, a Beged Ish with a Beged Isha. Quite obviously, the Targum says there is such a thing, Yonasan and Ziel. The Tosos disagreed, and he says Tosos disagreed not only Mikadin, but he claims this is not an authentic Yonasan ben Uziel, by the fact that if it was, the Rishayim before Tosos should have quoted this. It should be mentioned someplace. And they never mentioned when Michal Bashal put on, the Gemara didn't say, how could she wear it? It's the Isa Beged Ish. So therefore, that's why he's very suspicious that, quite obviously speaking, this is not penned by him, somebody else penned it, and that's why the Baal Tosfos didn't bring it. Let's go back inside. Avo Pasha, Rav Moshe says, Shurak, when will I allow her to put on these tzitzis that have unique tzura of tzitzis for women, ukedema? Rak b'choshka b'nav shel l'kayim mitzvahs av shelo nitztava, when she has a true desire to l'kayim mitzvah she wasn't commanded on, but that's, you know, if our kavan is, I want to do the mitzvah l'shem shemayim, I wasn't commanded, I want to do it nevertheless. But Moshe says, but when it comes to many women of the women liberation, especially the militant ones that were driving poor Rabbi Kelema crazy, they were coming not just because of a cheshit to do mitzvahs, they wanted to advance the cause of women liberation. So Moshe says, "Amechavin she'ein l'kavanazu." Ela mitzat taramusa ala Hashem Yisbarach, they're having complaints against God, Valtaraso, that it's not fair, that it wasn't made right, there's not equality. He says, if those are the women who are putting on these types of tzitzits, ein ze ma'aseh mitzvah klal, ela adaraba, ma'aseh isa, she'isa de kfira, she'chasheves de shayach, she'ezechilach b'din ha'tera. He oises gam b'ma'aseh she'hemir. If she's putting it on to show, I'm going to show God I know better than him, he claims that's the mitzvah of Baba Vera, and the mitzvah is cancelled out. So in Moshe's mind, the kavana of why she's doing it is a crucial factor, and Moshe is willing to go further than the Aruch HaShulch. I'm willing to do it, but let her do it for the same reason she wants, well, women, Noshim Sitkanis, took upon themselves before women's liberation to do shofar and to basically dalad minim and Sri Sarmi. They did it for machshavas taharas, not to be part of a movement of liberation. So when you do it with Shem Shemaim, I can deal with it, and quite obviously I'm able to accommodate. However, when they're doing it with Tarum, to say that Judaism or Yehadus or Rabbanisham wasn't fair and there was discrimination, at that point Moshe sees red and he's very, very upset. He points out, if you look at number 3 over here on this page, Hanoshim Shemes Akshos Verotzos Lilcham V'Lashanos. Hey, Bechashivas Kofres Matar, he says, their kavanah is the militant ones, not the ones who do L'Shem Shemayim, but the militant, he says, they have to realize, they have to be told, that what they're doing or saying is in the realm of Kfir B'Tari. Why? He says, look in the Rambam Perigimel Hilchot Shuva, where the Rambam lists a whole bunch of different Averos, the Shloshein Hanikran Kofren B'Tari. There are 3 people that are called Kofren B'Tari. Who are they? A person that says, Teva Achas, Shemashar Mipi Atzmo, that one of the words of the Torah Moshe said by himself without Hashem dictating it to him. That's number 1. Number 2, Hakofa Beperusho Shutarish Vapeh, which means he says that the Torah Shavapeh is not God's interpretation of the Torah. I don't hold from the Talmud Bavli Yerushalmi or the Sefer of the Sefri. I have my own interpretation. That's a Kofer. And Omer, the person says things have changed over time and misses have changed. The Ram categorizes these as people kofa b'tara and lechel gemabara. Moshe is very, very upset when people start challenging the Torah as God wasn't there. He then says in quotation 8, 9, and 10 the following statement. He says, if you look in the broader picture of the Torah, kedoshim tiyu, anshe kodesh tiyun li. Anytime Klal Yisrael were addressed by HaKadosh Baruch Moshe publicly, there was a total shavis given to the men and women, which means you all are kedoshim to you, anshei kodesh to you only. At Kabbalah, the Torah, on the contrary, women were given a kedima over the men. They were asked to accept the Torah first before the men were asked. They were given a courtesy because of the chashivas of nashim. The Torah does not discriminate against nashim, and they have the same chashivas and kedusha that the men do. And the fact that they can't do all the mitzvahs is not a chesaron. Why? Because Rav Moshe says, I'm not a Kohen or a Levi. So I can't do their mitzvahs. Does it mean I'm a deficient Jew? And certain things we can do as Israelim, Kohenim cannot do. They can't be involved in the normal Gimel Chesed, Kfiras HaMes. They can't be Metamit HaMes, except their own mess. So if that's the case, it's not the number of mitzvahs you're doing that's an important factor. It's your kavana to use the mitzvahs to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the factor. And on tzitzis, I want to be mevater, but not on tefillin. Now, what's interesting, Rabbi Yisrael, I want you to know this, is my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik is continuously misquoted. We have 1,000 talmidim. It's difficult to discipline 1,000 talmidim. Kshem sh'ein paneim damos, ein derasem shavas, and I'll leave it to your imagination what I mean by that. So Chazal point out, you know, you have to look what the Rebbe holds. And I'll tell you the following statement. One of the real, you know, more liberal, I would say, of those Rabbanim who deal with these halachos, interviewed the Rav's Mishpacha, Frim I'm talking about, interviewed the Rav's Mishpacha to find out what the Rav really feels about all this modernity that's going on in the prayer groups, in basically women having their own Kriya Sataras, women dancing with Sifrei Tiras, women putting on tefillin, putting on tzitzis. What does the Rav really feel? And what the Rav said is in his first analysis, I want you to hear what he says, and compare this to Rav Moshe. The Rav said, if the women are seeking greater spirituality, resulting from an increased kiyum ha-mitzvah, then that I can buy into. But if the kavanah is not for that, but the kavanah might be, consciously or not consciously, for something else, for instance, public peer approbation, conspicuous religious performance, a sense of equality of men, if that's what they want to do, I am as going to aser as aser can be. In many respects, he's really saying the same thing in emotions, but just saying in fancy terminology, but he's mamash on the same exact page.
Emotions are the same thing in Kriya Sator.
Yeah. But I'm saying it's George just giving a modern terminology, but it's the same exactly. Now, to show you how far the Rav went to demonstrate this, so Nebuch, Rabbi Kelimo also went to the Rav, because he was the closer one to go to, he was right next door. So there was a woman in Brookline, his young Israel, that was driving him nuts. She wanted to come to shul the next week wearing talis and tefillin, now be part of, now she's not going to go into the minyan with me, but, so he said, instead of asking me, let's go to Rav Soloveitchik, he's the gadol in our community. So this is the story, I'm going to quote you the story. So this woman went.
Where is this written, by the way?
This is, Frimmes brings it down, a quotation of the story told to him by the Rav's Talmidim, by Kelimer. So in 1970, this Balabust of Kelimer went to Rav Soloveitchik in Brookline, and she explained she wants to put on talis and tefillin, etc., etc. So the Rav said to her, instead of doing everything 1, 2, 3, let's do it gradually, piece by piece. So the first thing I think you should do is, let's try how you feel putting on a talis without the tzitzis first. And if that goes well, we'll go then to talis with the tzitzis. So the woman went away for about 2 months. And she came back to meet the Rav again. So the Rav said to her, how did you feel the experience of putting on the talis? So she said to the Rav, it was magnificent. It was an incredible religious experience. This was something, a spiritual high I never had before. So the Rav said, putting on that beged was a religious experience. It gave you, you felt spirituality, kedusha coming from it. But there's only one problem. A beged without the physical tzitzis is nishkan beged tzitzis. So the fact of, so therefore we said, if that's the case, you couldn't have felt kedusha coming from it because you didn't have the kedusha yet. So he says, it's obvious to me, therefore, he says, that the religious high was not an enhanced kiyum mitzvah, but something else. And he doesn't elaborate. The Rav, when he was asked about Kriya Sotara for Nashim, was 100% against it. When he was asked about women having the special prayer minyanim, against it. And the reason he was against it, he articulated. He says that to create a prayer minyan, a minyan, or for Kriya Sotara, it's a davashe begedusha. You need 10 men to create this type of entity. He says that if that's the case, women when they come to shul, whether the mechiv and davish kedusha or not, but if they come to shul, when they're present and they hear the kaddish, the kedusha, and everything, they at least get a kiyum of the mitzvah are participating in the tzibur of the Kriyas HaTorah, Dovid Shekvidusha, of Chazaras HaShatz, of Baruch Hu. Those kiyumim which are created by the tzibur, the women benefit from it as well. When you tell a woman she can make her alternate Kriyas HaTorah and an alternate Chazaras HaShatz and an alternate everything else, what you're basically manufacturing for them is something that exists in the world of halacha, and you're fooling them. Because they think this is a viable alternative. By going to this other stuff, they don't have a key in Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. They don't have a key when it comes to Chazaras HaShatz. They don't have the kiyumim of Baruch HaKadom, and the contrary. If they're not watched properly, it ends up many times, without proper supervision and instruction, they make Baruch Levatalas. Because once they made a Birchas HaTorah in the morning, for them to Ibichaz and make a Baruch HaTorah again, but when they get an Aliyah's Latara, is a Baruch Levatalah for them, because there's no din of Dovah Shebekdusha, being Mechayiv them to do such. So the Rav, when it came to that, I can tell you, was a tremendous kanoi. When it came to davening, he had two different tekufas in his life, but when he saw how this was leading to more hefkeris, and then listened, and some had real chazaras hashatz, where women repeated the Shemoneh Esrei, he basically said no with a capital N. Even when it came to the Shela, that's not a Dovah Shebekdusha, and not the question of wearing tzitzis or tefillin, dancing with the Sefer Torah b'hakafis on Simchas Torah. So he said to the women in Boston, he asked them, he says, I want you to know something. There's a concept, he says, of Minhagei Tznius, of Neshei Klal Yisrael, of thousands of years. My mother, my bubba, my alta bubba, going back, who knows, never had the thought or the machshava desire to dance with the physical Sefer Torah on the days of Simchas Torah. That has become the official minig. The Nashim Sekanyos don't even touch the Sefer Torah to kiss it. Ramah brings that minig down. If you ever went to a Svadish shul, I was in France once, where you had the Svadish women in the balcony, I never saw this before, when they bring the Sefer Torah in, the women put their hands out, hovering in the air, throwing kisses to the Sefer Torah. But that's a minig amongst Ashkenazim, they never even touched it. So the Rav says now to take it in a body and carry it and run it around, the Rav says he feels it's a zilzul b'kedusha Sefer Torah. It's parades to get the flies when it comes to Nashim Sekanyos. And he was very, very machmir. That was the Rav's approach, and the Rav, when you see in his phraseology, is very similar to Rav Moshe. In your Mar Makamas, I want you to turn to page number 3. Many, many years ago, when the women's vinyanim issue became a hot issue, so at that time, the Agudah world said, since most of the people who were pushing this were from the YU community, let the YU Rosh Yeshivas be the one to answer them. Let them write the tshuvas. So the fact of the matter is, they wrote the tshuvas. If you look on the bottom of this page, this is an old tshuva I have in my files, going back to the 1970s, of Nissen Alpert Zatzal, Abba Brunspiegel, Shever Fushleima, Mordechai Willig, Yehuda Parnas, Vishechter Shechter. They signed this specific document, and I wanted to read with you certain parts of the document. He says, B'miksas bati kinesias orthodoxiam, and he go, he says, Hakafetz miyuchadus lenoshim, v'simchas Torah, Minyanim yuchadim lenoshim letfila, and for Kriyas HaTorah and Kriyas HaMegillah, is this mutav aser, and they give 3 yisodos. Tshuva. Miri says, Hanogas elu asuris mitzahadin mikametamim. Number 1, the chayin shein noshim mitztafes lasara l'chodovish shepagadusha, harayinim mitzah shetakansin kalkaltam, eilhem chazaras hashatz, lo kadish, lo kadusha, lo baruch b'shas Kriyas HaTorah, as I mentioned before, Nimsa shekiyum mitzvasa mitzvah elu hu shalav b'shalem musar u'b'mashim eskabzus yachal asos minyan miyuchil atzman laros ke'ilu nitztafu be'emes leminyan. There's a isa they call of ziyuf hatayra. As you know, Rav Shechter wrote a special tshuva upon it separately, and in it he says, he quotes a mashal that when you're involved in ziyuf hatayra and the guy wants to know something and you want a mezayif, there's a chiyuv yerav el yavar not to violate the east of Ziyaf a terrorist. He wants to show you how severe that is. But number B, Bayes, Yesh b'zeh mishum shinu gamam od bolet b'misaris avaseinu, u'mishum paret gedim minhag Yisrael, u'paris medachi atzibor, yesh kapeidu miyuchedes b'nageil minhagi Bayes ha-kineses. And number 3, he says, Yesh b'chol zeh mishum chashas chukas ha-gay, because the women liberation is what basically gave them the impetus to do such. Hayos menagim elo, Hungu, Bitur Po Yotz, the Matino of the Shikhra Nashim,
Ashen yada b'shetach hazeh l'shem pritzus. V'fad yeish l'das l'arban isam yuchud sholasas maisa mitzvos. You can't make mitzvahs following and hugging of people who are pritzus, who are paced the chukas ha'akam. He says, therefore, kol eila tamen nirulan l'dina shekor hanhagas eila surisein asal higa mechadash afilu b'mekama shekvar hunigu mahanachan levatla mekana l'haba, etc. And they appeal to Gedolei Chachmei Doreinu that they shall listen. They say, Moreinu Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein, Shneim Misnagdim Od L'Chol Yonim Anal. So it shows you they brought both of these, I mentioned before, in part of the Chavura. And therefore, this was basically the feelings. And that's why, by and large, in the Torah community, there aren't too many women's minyanim. Don't confuse that with the Amen group over here in the community. There's no matter. The Amen group we have over here is not a women's tefillah group. They're not having Chazaras Hashatz. They're not having a minyan. They just say brachos. They have Amen. It was created by the Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Rav Chaim is a wife, as a way people, a woman can get a little ruchnis together during the week. And so they're makbid, brachos, and it's a brachos and Amen. That's why it's called the Amen group. There's no official Chazaras Hashatz over there. So it's not. It's done in such a way to highlight it's not a women's minyan. And they don't promulgate it. There's no Kriyas Torah attempt to Kriyas. Basically, it's that or Shiurim taking place. So don't confuse one issue with the other issue. And I want to make sure I had that disclaimer over here. When it came to what happened in Ramaz and in, say, SAR, it's the first time we really have in modern Jewish history that an actual group who's affiliated with the Orthodox Torah community decided to allow the concept of tefillin for bas mitzvahs besides boys. And Sar was the one who started it.
Who's the one behind it? Who's the person behind it?
Well, the fact Weiss. Of the matter, well, I don't know. It could be.
Obvious.
But the fact of the matter is, it was started in SAR. Weiss is one of the rabbis in Riverdale. It's a Riverdale institution. And later on, Luxty, for some strange reason, said that Ramaz is going to follow in suit. And at that point in time, interesting once again, Aguda says, we're not answering this because the people who established this were Mismachim from Yeshiva University, YU, let their Rosh Yeshivas be the one to answer. As they did in 1970, they did it now. So for that reason, I mean, I didn't speak to Rav Schechter, so a good friend of mine, but he penned a tshuva a couple of days ago. And the tshuva is contained in these Ma'amar Mekamim from page 4 to 7. I can't read the whole tshuva, but I want to bring out some highlights in it. And you can take this home to read it yourself at your convenience. But basically, Herschel has the following ha'aretz. He points out that one of the things that bothered him the most, and this is at the end of the tshuva, the two guys in the two yeshivas, in the two places that instituted this new nihug, in almost everything else they do in the world of halacha, they pick up the telephone, they call Rav Herschel Schechter, what's your opinion, what's your feeling? When it came to such a monumental decision over here, how in the world didn't they call up some Rosh Yeshiva in YU, ask the question, you know, are you with us or without us, and just blanketly went against what was many klausa for thousands of years? So this is, you know, something he just says, I don't understand it, I can't comprehend it. That's number one. Number two, he says, I mean, I'm going in a different sequence than he goes, but you'll see why I'm doing this. He points out, if you look on page 6, how in the world can they be matter that which is brought down in the Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotation, see over here, Rabbi Yisai, brought down by the Ramon B'Shem HaRishonim, and Cholok Allah become Mefarshish Shulchan Aruch. He says, if you look, Rav Herschel says, you look at all the Mefarshish Shulchan Aruch, and when Herschel says, you look at all the Mefarshim, it means he's looked at all the Mefarshim. He says, there's nobody on location of any of the Gedolei HaMefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch that a Cholok on the Chumrah when it comes to Tefillin that is mentioned by the Ramah. Sheyesh Lekul Ba'abai Shulav Gufpaki. So if that's the case, how in the world can you take on the Ramah and a psak that was meyusid going back to the 1600s, and now 500 years later on, come and all of a sudden say it doesn't apply anymore? Where do you have the gall to basically do this? He then points out, you know, besides that, let me go back a little further. He says what's happening over here is by doing this, preaches together with all the lumdas you show that, you know, and give kenetchim. The problem is we're living in a tekufa that conservatism and reformation, and even in orthodoxy, we have now a movement called open orthodoxy. Now, when you look at these organizations, what they're doing,
they are basically on the spot changing halacha without a qualm whatsoever. Whatever is suits them, they use. Whatever suits them, doesn't use. One of the things that the conservatism especially like to push is women wearing tefillin, women wearing talisim. That's a big deal.
The mento,
yeah. You know, it's called Mayim Kanuvim Yimtaku. You know, but the fact of the matter is, he says, where is their sensitivity to the fact we're fighting a Melchemes Mitzvah now? That we should show what pure orthodoxy is, and since there's a movement in between called open orthodoxy that is confusing people, you have people in open orthodoxy, Rabbanim, who say they don't believe Torah Misinai. They don't believe the stories of Masa Bereishis. These are people who are not just Talmidim in the yeshiva, these are Manalim in the yeshiva. And these are the kids they've been giving smicha to. So it's bad enough we have to deal with that group and try to sensitize Klal Yisrael. He says that there's a big difference in the way they treat Mesaris and interpreting Torah than we. But now in our own ranks, our own Talmidim, we're proud of that they're being parrots together, not realizing once you make that piyatza, who knows what can happen when it comes to other types of tikkunim that the other ones are using will be brought into our machne. He feels that's a very, very big problem. And to show you how Chazal were concerned with chidushim, even chidushim that a chumr is, he has a brilliant mashal, and that's the beginning of the tshuva. And that's why in my Mar Makomas I said Masechtas Yoma. If we go back to the beginning of the Masechta, Rabbi Yisai, there's a story there that always caught my mind, and our Herschel takes it and captures it and shows us something very special. We learned about this in the beginning of the Masechta, the same way that when Mafresh the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippurim 7 days before, that when Mafresh the Kohen who was going to be Sarif the Paraduma. And what's interesting is, during that time frame, they put upon them the Zerikats of the Paraduma waters to Matara them as Kaddish Kadesh as they possibly could be. The day the Kohen is going to do the Avodah of Sreifas HaParak Yudayimer, they will metame him with the Tumah Sheretz and made him go to Mikvah to show a Kabbalah that a Tful Yom is able to produce the Paraduma. Now, why did they do this historically? Because the Karayim, at that time the Tzedukim, who only believes in Torah Shemesav and Torah Shlepeh, since the Torah says the person who burns the para has to be tahar, but it says to be tahar even from tumas nevela, he has to be a person who already had hair of shemesh, and therefore they were marked with the kohen gadol who came from Sedukim, should not be mistameh, and they put a chumr in the halacha. The Prushim wanted to show that you're not following what the halacha of Torah Shlepeh is, and you're making chumrs in Torah Shlepeh that don't exist. Felt the necessity to Bedavka show a demonstration of being Metameh, the Kohen, who had all the Tahara on the day of the performing it, to show the Halacha is not like you, the Halacha is like us. You shouldn't promulgate a forgery what Torah Shavuot requires when it comes to this Halacha L'Doros. The Gemara says, what did they do to counterbalance to show how important the Tahara of the Paradum is? When it came to processing it, they used only kalim that amount in a makabel tumah, dung kalim made of stone or other stuff, and not makabel tumah. When it came to the children who were going to have given the privilege of drawing the waters, these children were brought up in special communities, rock communities, which were detached from any type of contaminant. So the kids would be as pure could be to draw the waters that are going to be used over here. They should be totally tahara al kodesh. So they went out of the way to show that in actuality, the process is done in kri tahara. But Lahotzi Milibam from the Tzedukim wanted to say that a person who's devoted is possible to do it, perverting what halach is, they went that way to Matame, which is Ira. So he says, what do we see? That you can't allow perversion of Mesaris to take place, even if the perversion ends up being a chumrah. You can't allow it. So over here, the woman's going to say, I'm being machma by myself. But it's a perversion from Mesaris. The Mesaris has been, because of the concerns of Noshim when it comes to Gufnaki, and the concerns over here because of the Hasech Hadas, and then added in the Kavanas with Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik, doing it for feministic reasons, not L'Shem Shemayim, they're making a mitzvah above Avera. If that's the case, how can we sit back and not criticize what's being done? Who are you relying upon? What is the Gadol you rely upon? And he points out that Gedolim, going back for time of antiquity, always were makbid asei l'charav, to have a Rebbe to rely upon and not to rely upon yourself. And he tells a very cute story. Listen to the story. He tells a story that once he and Abba Brunspiegel, which means Abba Brunspiegel, went with him to the Rav to talk about a certain halachic shela.
And the Rav at that time where they met him was in the house of the Rav's mother. She was an older woman by then, quite obviously. And Rav Brunschberg had a certain chakir and a certain halakha question, and the Rav thought about it. And the Rav wanted to give a psak lakula. So the Rav's mother said, Rebelish, when your father was around, he did not give a kula on this. He was machmir. Well, upon the Rav heard it, he said, ah, if my Rebbe moved a pasuk in that way, I'm taking it back. I'm being machmir like him. And then the Rav said, because a Rav has to have his own Rebbe. There's a Masoris over here. And if my father, or if Chaim, or whoever the Gedolim that I relied upon in my youth, pasken that way as a Masoris, I have to continue the Masoris. Even though I can give brilliant reasons to perhaps manipulate, you have to be Savchad a Masoris. So if that's the case, Herschel himself, I'll be honest with you, he's very emotional in this tshuva. I believe there's an English rendition, I think, circulating soon around the internet and maybe even the papers, because I think Hoffman translated this into English and started, maybe the Five Towns might have this very shortly. But the fact of the matter, Rabbi Say, is there is an immediate question and a long-term question. And that is, once you have a Masoris written down by the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch, and there's no potzepeh when it comes to that Masoris, and there's no machlekas of contemporaries on it, and everybody's maskim, ninu v'gamru, the change minhagim of Klal Yisrael that are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch is a very, very big problem. And since when it came to Tefillin, there was never any Masoris passed by anybody to be Peres Kedah when it came to Nashim, by Tzitzis, yes. But by Tefillin, no. For that reason, he felt we should not be Peres Kedah. What's going to happen to resolve this? I don't know, Rabbi Yisai, but it's a serious matter, because once you're Peres Kedah there, so what's the next thing going to be like? What?
Why distinguish tzitzis from tefillin?
So Rav Moshe already pointed out. Rav Moshe pointed out. Because we're not answering tzitzis, but teres a begadish. We're answering it because of the question. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, if you have a begad shalisha, it's a big difference. Rabbi Yisai, I think you got the gist of this. And halacha has a mesores. There's a minik hamakom. Question of dar achadar. And to mechadish new stuff, because Herschel also says today, what many people have is they feel that since they have a het tahara, they can basically therefore use their capacities, he says, in doing research on the internet today. He says today, with the oitzah ha-sfarim, with the oitzah ha-paiskim, with the Bar Ilan thing, you can show bekiyas on a level she'en kamoah, because you have all thousands of tshuvas. So he says, but that's not what a gadol should be. A gadol should be a person who already knows those shittas without having to go to these sources, or has a mesores in psak halacha. And he ends up with a cute Yerushalmi. He says, the Yerushalmi says, Amaratzim have a meira when it comes to Shabbos. So why do Amaratzim have a meira when it comes to Shabbos? So Herschel gives a new taitch upon it. He says, the taitch is, during the week, an Amaratz can show he's a gadol because there's the internet available. So he can have all the stuff. So if he asks a Shayla, give me 24 hours and I'll bring a 50-page answer. On Shabbos, he doesn't have the internet, so if you ask him a question, he's stuck. So therefore, he's Amaratz Mirein because of a Kedusha Shabbos, he says.